This week on Making Contact.
The gang injunctions are about taking the Latino population and the low-income working class population out of the neighborhood and then turning that neighborhood into condominiums for rich people.
The city of San Francisco is known all over the world for its natural beauty, gourmet restaurants, and booming nightlife. And when people think about San Francisco, they don't often think about gang violence. But that's just what's been plaguing the city's Mission District for many years. On this edition, Making Contact intern Joaquin Palomino spoke to former gang members and other Mission residents about gang injunctions, a controversial legal strategy that's divided the community. Some call it a solution, but many believe it's an ineffective measure that does more damage than good. I'm Tina Rubio, and this is Making Contact, a program connecting people, battle ideas, and important information.
Since the 1960s, the Mission District has been the heart of San Francisco's Latino community. The neighborhood is small in size, but its residents come from all over the Spanish-speaking Americas, with large groups from Central America and Mexico.
We see that the Mission is touted as still the Latino immigrant neighborhood, and the taquerias are open, and we want people to enjoy the Latino flavor, the Latino culture of this neighborhood.
Walking down the streets of the Mission, it's clear that the neighborhood has a strong art and activism scene. Musicians play on street corners, community centers are plentiful, and colorful murals can be found on almost every block.
Instead of us having to go to the library to read about Nicaragua or to read about El Salvador or to read about Honduras, we can walk down an alleyway and there are beautiful murals there portraying the histories and the struggles of different peoples.
But amidst its vibrance, the neighborhood still grapples with the same problems of any low-income community: poverty, drugs, and violence.
I love the smell of pan dulce walking down the street, 24th Street, or anywhere in the Mission. I love the smell of corn tortillas. But at the same time, growing up poor, there's like a bittersweetness to that.
In 2007, 13 people were murdered in the Mission. Police blame most of those deaths on neighborhood gangs. This figure isn't unusual. The Mission has always had crime, and the authorities have long acknowledged violence and poverty in the neighborhood. It's only been recently that the city has made a push in fighting back.
I'd like to see the Mission be a place where kids can go to school, go to the park, where seniors can stroll down the street and be participants in their community. Families can go out without fear of getting caught in a gang crossfire.
That's San Francisco's city attorney, Dennis Herrera. Over the last few years, he's tried to make this vision a reality. His approach, a legal tactic called gang injunctions. Herrera has targeted three neighborhoods in San Francisco: Bayview Hunters Point, the Western Addition, and the Mission District. All are communities of color, and in fact are some of the last black and brown neighborhoods in the city. They're all low-income areas, and it's no secret that they all struggle with high levels of crime and violence.
What I tried to do was very specifically was to go out and identify those areas where we could document that there was a dramatic increase in gang violence and that we could actually document the cases. So with respect to the Mission, we found that the 24th Street corridor especially had seen astronomic rates of gang violence that we could actually tie through thousands of pages of evidence to the Norteño gang.
Those thousands of pages of evidence were vital in creating a neighborhood gang injunction, a court-issued restraining order targeting individuals who City Attorney Herrera sees as the main shot callers on the street. In the Mission District, that's 32 individuals, all thought to be active members of the Norteño street gang. How does the gang injunction work? Well, the city is basically suing the Norteño gang for being a public nuisance and targeting specific people on an injunction list. Imagine being put on probation without ever being convicted of a crime. That's pretty much what's happened to the people on this list. While inside what's called the Mission Safety Zone, a 60 square block area in the heart of the neighborhood, people on the list need to follow a 10 p.m. curfew. They can't speak to other suspected gang members, and they can't wear the color red. How did these 32 people get on the injunction list? All that City Attorney Herrera needed to do was prove in court that they were a public nuisance and a danger to the community, and that by enforcing probation-like regulations, violence could be suppressed. For those on the injunction list, breaking the guidelines can carry stiff punishments.
I can understand if they're catching them beating an old man up or killing somebody, then that's reasonable. But if they're just living life around an area that's a gang area, I pretty think that's unfair.
That's Ruben Palomares, a longtime resident of San Francisco with close ties to the Mission District. A few of his friends are on the injunction list.
I was in a car with my friend yesterday, and he told me one of our friends got picked up eating a taco with his girlfriend at a taco restaurant, Taqueria, and the police recognized him and just took him. As far as we know, right now he's doing 6 months because it's his second time getting caught there, so he just got 6 months for just eating a taco, not doing no crime or nothing.
Ruben's friend was on the injunction list and now faces 6 months in jail because he was caught breaking curfew twice. These are the type of stories that make people afraid. Although this man may not have been a saint, many feel that going to jail for 6 months for something as petty as breaking curfew seems a bit extreme. And community members are worried that this sort of response won't help end the violence, because it doesn't address the conditions that lead young people into gangs. It doesn't deal with poverty in the neighborhood, lackluster schools, overcrowded housing, or the systematic racism that the youth of the neighborhood face daily. Instead, the gang injunction sees incarceration as the way to fix the problem. And in a neighborhood that already has a high incarceration rate, people know that this isn't a real solution.
He's trying to be tough on crime. He's trying to get elected in the future to an elected position where he can say he cleaned up the Mission District, he cleaned up Western Addition, he cleaned up Hunter's Point by enforcing gang injunctions.
Community activist Nancy Hernandez talking about Dennis Herrera.
And his tactic is to suppress the violence, to lock the people up, to take the people who are on the streets right now, place them in prison, and then the community is safe. But what happens when those young people come out of jail? They're not reformed, they're not changed. If anything, being locked up, ask anybody, being locked up gives you more access to do more dirt. Getting locked up gives you more reason and more purpose to be into criminal activity. You get more resources to be a part of criminal activity.
Hernandez is a youth counselor at a violence prevention group called HOMI. It's an acronym for HOMI's Organizing the Mission to Empower Youth. HOMI isn't your typical nonprofit. Its staff is made up of ex-gang members, ex-prisoners, activists, and mission residents who are all deeply connected to the neighborhood and who take a much different approach to dealing with the violence problem. Instead of incarceration, people at HOMI believe in reform, and they believe that the only way to end gang violence is by addressing the conditions that lead young people into gangs.
I think like gangbanging and being involved in street organizations is probably the most extreme expression of oppression. It's a response to conditions that exist in our community. And for me, being a gang member provided empowerment, which then means that I was disempowered. It provided financial opportunities, which means that I was dealing with poverty. I found value in it, which means that I didn't value my life or my culture, or my history, and so there was a disconnect with my community.
That's Rene Quiñones, ex-gang member and the executive director of HOMI.
All those things that were lacking in my life need to be replicated, and they're not going to be replicated by this system and this government. They're not going to be products of the very institution that has created conditions to lead young people into these street organizations. So, you know, working here at HOMI, what we're trying to do and what I feel like we have been very successful in is that because we understand the conditions that exist in our community and the gaps that exist, we try to fill them and we try to create opportunities and resources and support that young people don't have at home, that the community, because of whatever reason, hasn't been able to provide them.
That's why the people at HOMI, who've been fighting gang violence in the Mission for the last 9 years, oppose the gang injunction. It doesn't try to solve the problems in the community, it punishes the community. Still, City Attorney Dennis Herrera says that despite these concerns, gang injunctions have been proven effective.
Injunctions, if you look at them historically, have also led to a decrease in gang violence. UCLA did a study which said that in the immediate aftermath of gang injunctions, you usually see in the short term a 10 to 15% reduction in gang violence. I can tell you here in San Francisco, our experience over the course of the last year with respect to our first gang injunction on the Oakdale mob, we similarly have seen a reduction in overall gang violence within the area of our Oakdale safety zone. And anecdotally, you see people in the community out in Oakdale for the first time saying that their families have been able to go out in the streets and walk to parks, sleep at night for the first time without a fear of getting caught in gunfire.
Although gang injunctions may reduce violence in the short term, many people are wary of law enforcement officials coming in and trying to help the community, and for good reason. First off, many youth in the Mission already have a rocky relationship with the San Francisco Police Department, and with the gang injunction comes a larger police presence, which many fear will only lead to more repression. Youth counselor Nancy Hernandez.
There's examples of police killing young people in our neighborhood, beating young people in our neighborhood, taking young people from one side of the neighborhood that is claimed by one street gang, and then taking them and dropping them off in another side, and then just telling everybody to beat them up and stepping back and allowing it to happen. So we see the police not only, you know, allowing this stuff to happen, but also actively participating in instigating violence between people in our communities.
Rene Saucedo is a lifetime Mission activist and a lawyer at La Raza Centro Legal, a law firm that represents many Bay Area Latinos.
If you talk to your average young person, if you talk to your average Latino immigrant, you will rarely find anyone who hasn't been stopped, detained, harassed by a police officer in this neighborhood simply because of what they were wearing, what they looked like, what age they were, etc. And, you know, it begs the question, who are the police so-called protecting? Is it property interests that they're protecting, or is it human beings are protecting?
That's the question that's on many people's minds. What's really behind the gang injunction? Is it meant to protect the residents of the Mission, or does the city have alternative motives? Not to fight gang violence, but to support a very different social trend.
The only reason the city right now is cracking down on implementing the gang injunctions is because they will be able to sell off the property in this neighborhood for a higher price if there are less street thugs on the street. And this really is a land grab. This is really about gentrification. The gang injunctions are about taking the Latino population and the low-income working-class population out of the neighborhood and then turning that neighborhood into condominiums for rich people. That's why we are facing the gang injunctions right now. Not because the city wants to come in and help us solve our violence problem. If they wanted to help us solve our violence problem, they would be investing money into getting jobs for young people. They'd be investing money into after-school programs. They'd be investing money into programs within the schools that teach people how to deal with each other in a nonviolent way. This is not a prevention tactic, this is a suppression tactic.
You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. If you'd like more information or for CD copies of this program, please call 800-529-5736. You can also download programs or get our podcast at radioproject.org. We now return to Whose Neighborhood Is This Anyway?, produced by Making Contact intern producer Joaquin Palomino.
For those who have grown up in any of San Francisco's low-income communities of color, the threat of gentrification is immense. Over the past 20 years, the entire city has been shaped and reshaped by the ebb and flow of capital. It seems to be well on its way to becoming inaccessible to all but the wealthy, and the Mission District is no different. It began with the dot-com boom in the 1990s, bringing thousands of young urban professionals into San Francisco. And with the Mission's relatively affordable housing, its thriving art scene and nightlife, and its location, many of these transplants landed in the neighborhood. With them came a 40% increase in commercial rents, and residential rent prices more than tripled. Trendy boutique stores, upscale restaurants, and hip nightclubs replaced the old businesses. Because housing is so expensive in the city, most of the residents in the Mission were renters. Many longtime tenants either couldn't afford the rising rent costs, or they were evicted, and the entire neighborhood changed.
Yeah, we're kind of on the east side of 24th Street. Looking at the theater over here, the Brava Theater, it's probably about 10 years old. And I was just talking with my wife about some of the movie houses in San Francisco. And there used to be many movie houses that showed Spanish language movies. And we're wondering why the demise of these movie houses, because there's not one left.
That's Francisco. He spent most of his life living in San Francisco, and the whole time he's been close to the Mission District. We spent a day walking and driving through the neighborhood. Francisco told me about his life in the city. Many of the people and places he remembered were like ghosts, now long gone.
Okay, Francisco, nice to see you. Mucho gusto.
Francisco took me to Valencia Street, a main artery of the Mission. Once like the rest of the neighborhood, now the streets are lined with bougie art galleries, cafes, yuppies, and hipsters.
Some of the bookstores and so forth have been here for years, but there's a lot of new upscale restaurants and some boutiques on Valencia. I think it's rare that you see Latinos walking the street, and if any Latinos were to walk, sometimes they get stares by the white businesses or some of the whites in the area. And that wasn't always the case, certainly in the 70s.
Many would say that Valencia Street has been cleaned up over the years. And as it has been cleaned, a new population has replaced the old. However, the neighborhood is very segregated, and there are definitely parts of the Mission that are still almost exclusively working class. These parts of the neighborhood remain run down. And unfortunately, for the city to clean them up would most likely push rents up and residents out.
There's this, to me, this policy of keep the Mission roiling. Keep the gangs going. There's no real attempt to deal with the gangs. And the blight, there's no concern about that until the time is decided that now's the time to make the changes, to buy up the areas and to make the kinds of construction, as they've done here and there. But for example, the Mission Corridor, they haven't changed that. And the 16th and Mission hasn't been changed with all the drugs and the prostitution.
This is why many take issue with the gang injunction. It is a solution to fight violence in the community, but it's coming from a city government which has long supported developers in their efforts to recreate the neighborhood and the city. But City Attorney Herrera says the suspicions are groundless.
Accusations about that this is all part of a gentrification effort or part of a racial profiling effort to criminalize people of color and to move folks out of the Mission ignores the fact that good, hardworking, law-abiding citizens that actually live in the community who have been terrorized and silenced are precisely the type of people that we are seeking to protect.
Stop gang injunctions! When?
Now!
Stop gang injunctions! When?
Now!
We feel like Pérez Herrera is passing this gang injunction as an attempt to further gentrification, to further kick out low-income and impoverished communities, to further kick out black and brown people from the San Francisco area.
On Halloween of 2007, 4 months after the gang injunctions were issued on the Mission District and the Western Addition, dozens of devoted activists and community members convened on the steps of City Hall to protest and to let City Attorney Dennis Herrera know that they oppose the injunction.
What gives them the right to tell families who happen to be on the list that they can't see each other?
It's hella footage. I don't know how long I should make here.
During the rally, a large group of people marched into City Hall to deliver a message to City Attorney Herrera. They were calling for more violence prevention programs, which don't emphasize incarceration, but instead focus on reform.
The gang injunction did not work in LA. The district attorney over there said that it was just a band-aid solution and it was not fixing the problem. Why would it work here?
Okay, let me finish my sentence.
Over 2 dozen people walked down the hall and packed into Herrera's office. Herrera didn't come out to address the crowd, nor has he gotten in touch with Homie or any of the other organizations who were present.
Seize the time,
take the hour,
free your mind,
take the power,
open wide, go outside,
take the streets and make them ours,
bring your sign,
rock them drums,
call your elders,
call your young,
weather this, hold this together,
one for all and all for one,
seize the time.
One, two,
the one.
You see your face, bro? You see? Oh, you look cool, man. Little busted here and there, little blood.
On a hilltop overlooking the city, 5 young men take turns punching and kicking one of their peers, who frantically tries to defend himself against the onslaught. It's hard to believe, but his attackers are his friends, and it's all part of this lone youth's initiation into a San Francisco street gang. Ruben Palomares was born in Mexico, but he spent most of his life in San Francisco. He was invited to film his friends getting jumped into the biggest gang in the Mission District.
Why would you even want to be in the gang?
Femi, that's something I gotta think about. Femi, I'm not all sure about that right now, Femi.
So you never knew why you really wanted to be in the gang?
Nah.
You never thought you was gonna be in one?
Nah.
It just happened real quick, huh?
Real quick with the snap of my finger.
For many people growing up in the Mission, being in a gang isn't really a conscious choice. Oftentimes it just happens. It's what everyone else is doing, so other youth do it too. It's about fitting in, and it's about dealing with poverty and all of the stresses that come with it. In the Mission, many see it as a way of life.
I can't remember a time in my life that violence hasn't always been a factor in my life.
Rene Quiñones, the executive director of HOMI, has lived in San Francisco's Mission District for most of his life. His younger years were spent doing the very things which HOMI now works against.
So at 12 years old, I started to make decisions to separate myself from my internal family. I mean, I started to be out on the street because I felt that I was receiving a lot more support and opportunities out on the street than in my own home. And so my first experience on the street was actually being like a mule or carrying drugs for people. But then I started to understand the economics behind drug dealing, and so I started to play with it. I started to be more and more involved, and actually not just holding it, but actually selling it. And then, you know, being financially independent from my own family at 13, 14 years old is really empowering. And so at 14, I was affiliated with a street organization. By the time I was 16, I was in and out of juvenile hall. I had been charged four multiple crimes, anywhere from assault, gang-related activities, domestic terrorist threats, possession charges, from carrying drugs to carrying guns. I'm 14 years old, my first possession charge was for carrying a concealed weapon. I mean, I was just basically in and out.
Young people lead the gang lifestyle for a host of reasons. For Renee, dealing drugs and being involved in a street organization offered an outlet for many of the emotional and economic stresses in his life. The biggest motivation for him was getting out of a life of poverty.
I mean, I think at 12 years old and understanding what poverty means, understanding what hunger is, understanding that there's a difference between the people who have and the people who have not, and I was one of those that have not. I think like immediately every primal instinct, you know, kicks in where you don't want to live that certain lifestyle. You don't want to be a have not. You don't want to be hungry. You don't want to starve. You don't want to be poor. And you want to have something to value. You want to be empowered. And, you know, unfortunately, the streets and those gangs provide that because our community doesn't.
Rene now dedicates his life to solving that problem. At HOMI, they believe that by reconnecting youth with their heritage and culture, not as gangbangers, but as Latinos, they can give young people something besides gangs to feel connected to. HOMI's office, just south of downtown San Francisco, has one large room filled with screen printing and art equipment for their graphics program. designed to transition youth out of the street economy and into the labor market. Another room is filled with computers and literature geared specifically towards Latinos, and all of the walls are adorned with artwork. Homie leads weekly violence prevention groups in San Francisco middle and high schools. They publish a newspaper, and they teach classes on Latino history and culture. But what sets Homie apart from most nonprofits is that almost all of the staff have lived the gang life. And for this, the youth who come through the doors can relate to them. The staff knows what leads young people into gangs, and they know firsthand how pointless it all is.
I ain't really been banging hard for a couple of years now, and everywhere I go, I still got to watch my back. I still run into people I got funk with, you know what I mean? And I got a little boy and shit, so it's kind of like, I don't want to go nowhere with him. I don't want to put his life in danger.
Mike Trigger is an artist at Homie.
Because the people from the rival gangs, man, they're just like us. There's no difference at all between us and them. The only difference is about 3 or 4 blocks. That's it. All the effort we put into gangs, you know, killing each other, and, you know, hurting our people, bringing our own people down, is that's what's wrong about the gangs.
And that's one of Homie's guiding principles. As Latinos growing up in the Mission, no matter what gang you belong to, everyone shares similar hardships. They have a common culture, and they all have to deal with the same conditions of poverty and racism.
And the reality is the legal system treats us the same, the educational system treats us the same. Society as a whole treats gang members, regardless of what organization they're from, the same. And so that's a common ground for them.
We may have rival tattoos, we may have friends and family members who have been killed to either side, but a lot of us in this organization have realized that there's something bigger and more worth fighting for than a Roman numeral or a color that comes from the American flag or a street that we'll never own.
Homie is working hard to prevent gang violence in the Mission, but they're only one small organization tackling a massive societal problem. Until there is a concentrated effort to tackle its roots, gang violence will continue to plague not only this one small neighborhood in San Francisco, but most every low-income community in the United States.
We can't go to Chicago and implement this program in Pilsen. We can't go to New York and implement this program in Brooklyn, but people who are from there can do this same thing, because it's about taking the people who once were the frontline soldiers in a street war and then taking that leadership capacity and changing their mission in life and giving them something that's really worth fighting for.
For Making Contact, I'm Joaquin Palomino in the Mission, San Francisco.
That's it for this edition of Making Contact. Whose Neighborhood Is This Anyway? Was produced by Joaquin Palomino as part of the National Radio Project's internship program. Special thanks to Ruben Palomares of Conscious Youth Media Crew, and to Dan Turner, Ron Rucker, and the Monday Morning Breakfast Crew. Our theme music is by the Charlie Hunter Trio. For a CD copy of program number 0808, call the National Radio Project at 800-529-5736, or you can get our podcast at radioproject.org. Lisa Redman is our executive director, Andrew Stelzer producer, Puck Lowe associate producer, Samson Rainey and Elena Bakken-Levy interns, and I'm Tina Rubio. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.